Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com. You press your lock up against this body. Now you're stuck, but you lie down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. As always, I'm your host, Dirt, and today we're here to talk about Friday Night SmackDown. This is a spoilerific show, so if you don't want Friday Night SmackDown spoiled, stop listening, well, in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk about some news and stuff first, but I used to do this show quite a bit without ever saying that this was a spoiler show, and people would turn it on and apparently got upset, started sending me emails saying, you got to warn people when they're spoilers, so there will be spoilers. Let's see. Now, before we get started, though, we're going to talk about some of the news. And, of course, the big story is the WrestleMania buy rate. WWE had their conference call with investors talking about the first quarter of the year, which WrestleMania fell into. WrestleMania, they had predicted, would get over 1 million buys worldwide, which sounds outrageous, but it's not. It's actually They probably could have if it wasn't for the UFC pay-per-view that happened the night before. They said the North American numbers were a lot lower than they expected because I forget what his name is, the MMA fighter, GSP, George St. Pierre, that's it. George St. Pierre was in a match on Saturday night before WrestleMania, and that hurt the North American numbers, mostly in Canada, where they lost a lot of buys because people thinking, well, am I going to buy the pay-per-view from UFC on Saturday night or WrestleMania on Sunday? And a lot of them did go with buying that UFC pay-per-view. But still, the WrestleMania pay-per-view numbers, 885,000 buys worldwide. So not a bad number. I mean, it's disappointing, not the million that they were hoping for, but still, 885,000 is a very good number, considering TNA, a lot of their pay-per-views are 20,000 buys, 30,000 buys, you know, something important to look at. So WrestleMania, even though it was not as big of a number as they hoped, WWE is still very profitable. Don't go around thinking that they're hurting or that they'll be going away or anything because that number was low. They made $138.7 million, and 24.7 of that was profit. So they're still doing very good. If you take WrestleMania out of the quarter, let's see, they still made $14.7 million in profit. So WrestleMania itself made them about $10 million. So that's profit for the company, $10 million. So they made $109.9 million for the quarter if you take out WrestleMania. And so after their expenses and everything, they're still left with $14.7 million. So there are no problems with the business. As far as the business of WWE goes, their live gates are super high. Merchandising is still big. The video game still does very well. One thing to point out is that live events for the quarter were very high leading up to WrestleMania, meaning that more than likely, had they not had the UFC pay-per-view the day before, they probably would have broken 1 million buys because that was the trending at the time. So that UFC pay-per-view did hurt them. I don't know what the numbers were on the UFC pay-per-view, how well they did in comparison. I don't know if it's same ballpark, if they did over 1 million buys, what the deal is. But still very good business for WWE coming through WrestleMania. Well, I said that would be about 5 minutes of news, and look at the clock. We're doing pretty good here. So we're going to take a quick break, run through a couple commercials, and then we'll be back with your spoilerific look at Friday Night SmackDown. Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
Hey, listen to sports.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome back to Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And again, I am your host, Dirt. Thanks for listening. Let's open up with Friday Night SmackDown. Show opened with Matt Hardy. Came down to the ring and talked about how Drew McIntyre had been beating him up the last couple of weeks. They showed the clips of him getting his head stomped into the stairs and whatnot. He said that he's not 100%, he probably shouldn't be back, but he wants to face Drew McIntyre, and he called him out. So McIntyre came out and basically said that Vince McMahon had labeled him the future of the company, which meant basically he was untouchable no matter what he did. There was nothing Matt could do to stop him. So Matt goaded him to come into the ring, and McIntyre said that he would teach him a lesson. So they went in the ring, they threw some punches at each other. They basically had a pull apart with a bunch of referees. They went, you know, outside the ring. They were fighting outside. Guys like Tony Garea, Ricky Steamboat, IRS, all of those type of guys came down ringside, and they were, you know, pulling the two guys apart. And Drew McIntyre would cut loose, and he would attack Matt again. And they would kind of pull him apart, and he'd keep on attacking Matt. And finally, Teddy Long came out, told McIntyre to break it up, told him to stop it, told him to, you know, cut it out. He wouldn't do it. So finally, he said, you know, McIntyre, you are suspended indefinitely. And McIntyre would not stop beating up on Matt Hardy. So he said, you are stripped of the Intercontinental title, and he would not stop beating up on Matt Hardy. And he said, finally, you are fired from the WWE. And McIntyre protested, you can't fire me, blah, 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 blah. He had security grab him and throw him out to the back. And they cut to Matt Hardy, who was in, pretty bad shape at ringside. Go to commercial, come back. They showed McIntyre backstage being escorted out of the arena. The little Natch, the referee, kept telling him, you know, you're fired, get out of here, you can't be here, and McIntyre gave a cryptic, we'll see who's fired, before he leaves out the door. So, setting up some sort of storyline with that, maybe he's going to Raw, maybe that's what they're setting that up for, maybe they're setting up for Teddy Long to be removed from SmackDown, not sure exactly where they're going with that, but kind of a interesting storyline, to say the least. I guess we just kind of have to wait and see where it goes to, but from right now, it just doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense, but we'll see. Let's see. Next up, they had Teddy Long. He was talking to Josh Matthews, just basically said he'd never seen behavior that bad before in his life. He had no idea what they were going to do with the title he had stripped off of McIntyre. They'd have to worry about that later. They had CM Punk with the Straight Edge Society. They came out. Luke Gallows, as it turns out, is the one who is going to wrestle in this match while Punk and Serena were at ringside. Out comes MVP. And they had a fun little match here. It was actually pretty good. It was a good showing for MVP. Everybody was worried about him since he pretty much got buried on Raw, wondering what was going to happen to him here. But in fact, what happened was MVP was able to... Everybody from the Straight Edge Society basically interrupted. CM Punk tried to jump in, Serena tried to get in at one point, and Rey Mysterio jumped out of the ring, attacked CM Punk at ringside, which distracted Serena, which made it a fair fight, which allowed MVP to hit the play of the day on Luke Gallows and get the pinfall. So, everybody wondering about MVP, it looks like he's back in a good position here on SmackDown, thank God. And he's actually, once they, you know, Rey Mysterio came out and leveled the playing field, MVP came out as the better wrestler. So, good for him. Go to commercial, come back. Punk is still standing in the middle of the ring. He's talking about how Rey Mysterio is a coward for running out of the crowd and attacking him. So Rey Mysterio comes out, starts talking about the mystery man that's been attacking him, gave Punk some of his own medicine. And, you know, Punk played it off like he had no idea who this mystery man was. He has no idea. He said, you know, there must be paint on the inside of Rey Mysterio's mask that he's huffing in order to have these hallucinations of a masked man, so he had no idea what was going on, but Rey Mysterio was still a coward. And so Rey Mysterio cut a promo that was very unusual. I'll preface it just by saying it's very unusual. I'll go through it, come back to that. Rey Mysterio starts cutting a promo that the general message of the Straight Edge Society was a good one. No drinking, no drugs, live a clean lifestyle. That's admirable. That's a nice message to send to people. However, he disagreed with the messenger, CM Punk. So he said that he would be willing to have another match at Over the Limit, I think is the pay-per-view coming up. That's what they called it. And he would be willing to again put himself on the line if CM Punk would again put his hair on the line. But this time, if Rey Mysterio, if he wins, he actually gets to cut CM Punk's hair himself. But if he loses, he will join the Straight Edge Society because he does agree with the basic tenets of what he's, you know, trying to pass along. So, so, you know, they kind of jib-jab about that a little bit. And Rey says, I tell you right now, I will join the Straight Edge Society right here, right now, today, if you will shave your head right now. And so, of course, the crowd desperately wants this to happen. And, of course, it doesn't happen. They go back to, you know, making it a pay-per-view match. And it was just kind of awkward, the way they kind of pushed, like, it's going to be at the pay-per-view, we could do something tonight, and then they begged that off. No, 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 we'll do it at the pay-per-view. So, you know, that was a little awkward. But then, Rey said, you know, it would be a good sign of your purity. It would be a good show to shave your head right now in front of the other members of the Straight Edge Society, even. Because, you know, they're bald. Why shouldn't you be bald? And CM Punk says, you know, my hair is a symbol of my purity. I can't shave it right now. And so Rey Mysterio starts planting these seeds like, so the other people in the Straight Edge Society, they have to shave their heads. They have to be bald, but you don't. You know, there's something different about you. There's something more special about you. They are living the same lifestyle. They are preaching the same message. How come they have to be bald and you don't? So he starts sowing these seeds of discontent. You can see Serena looking at CM Punk, just kind of like, wait a minute, why do I have to be bald? Why do you get to have hair and I don't? So they start throwing these seeds in there. And then, you know, finally he said, you know, you like to save people, but nothing's going to save you from the 619. Booyaka, booyaka, music hits, end of segment. And again, weird, because pay-per-view? No, we'll do something tonight. No, it's going to be at the pay-per-view. Well, tonight you should shave your head. No, that's not going to happen. Okay, so we're back to the pay-per-view. Like, it seemed like they lost their train of thought at some point. Like, really, Rey, I think, is what it sounded like. Rey really seemed to lose the point he was trying to make, and then he went back to it. And he did it in such a way they couldn't re-edit the whole segment to make it work. So, little awkward, little unusual the way it jumped around like that, but in the end, for the most part, it worked, but it kind of lost momentum there. They had the women's tag team match next. Kelly Kelly and Tiffany versus Team Lay Cool, and Vicky Guerrero was, of course, at ringside. I showed a clip from Superstars where Michelle McCool and Layla, they were teasing Kelly Kelly and back and called her smelly. So, of course, when Michelle McCool and Layla came out, they were wearing Smelly Kelly shirts, talking about Smelly Kelly, whatever. Basically, the match ended with Michelle McCool kicking Tiffany in the head, knocking her out, attacking Kelly Kelly on the apron, and Layla came in, hit the neck breaker, and got the pin. And I say basically because the entire match, this was, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes on TV. I'm betting they filmed 6-7 minutes and they cut it down to this, and this was the best that they could show on TV. I'm guessing that because this was god-awful. This was just terrible. They had a bunch of missed spots. Tiffany, I don't know if it's just that, you know, for the longest time she was an ECW general manager. She wasn't wrestling, and so she's still, you know, kind of in that green zone. She's still, you know, trying to get her feet in the ring. She's just not naturally athletic. She was a cheerleader, you know, Kelly Kelly. She was a swimwear model. You know, they try their best, gosh darn it, but not good. That's about all I can say about that. We go backstage, and we had Josh Matthews in the back with Teddy Long. Teddy Long was holding the Intercontinental title, and he said that four people were going to face off tonight. It was going to be a tournament, and next week would be the finals to crown the new Intercontinental champion since Drew McIntyre had been stripped of the title. So today it was going to be Cody Rhodes versus Christian and Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston, and the winners would face off next week. So, first up, we had Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston. All in all, it was a fine match. Nothing special to it, but, you know, fun little thing. I like Dolph Ziggler in general, but, Kofi ended up, hitting the Trouble in Paradise while Dolph Ziggler, had him in the sleeper. Kofi broke out, hit him with the Trouble in Paradise out of nowhere, basically, and got the pin. So, it's kind of a fun little ending, fun little match. They still played the clips of Dolph Ziggler beating up Hornswoggle, which is supposed to be a heel thing, but I think it's slowly getting him over. Kofi Kingston is going to face the winner of Christian versus Cody Rhodes. So, you know, I kind of expected, since Kofi Kingston won, I kind of expected Cody Rhodes would win, which would make it Kofi Kingston versus Cody Rhodes, you know, heel versus face match. But instead, they had Christian versus Cody Rhodes, and they had Christian win. They cut to shots of Kofi watching backstage on the monitor. A couple times that Christian got you know, caught up or whatever, and they cut to Kofi watching the back there. So the more you watched it, it seemed a little clearer that it was going to be Kofi versus Christian. But let's see. Christian basically threw Cody into the pole at ringside, ran in, hit him with the shoulder, pulled him out, hit him with the kill switch, and got the pinfall. So pretty powerful win over Cody Rhodes, which I don't know what that means for Cody Rhodes, but I'm guessing he's not going to get the same push that DiBiase is getting on Raw. So it's going to be Christian versus Kofi Kingston next week for the Intercontinental title. Both guys could use the push, but I really hope they put it on Christian to help elevate some sort of interbrand feud between him and Edge at SummerSlam. But we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Showed recaps of Big Show basically punching everybody out last week. They recapped Drew McIntyre getting fired and thrown out. They recapped Swagger and all of his boasts from last week. He came down to the ring and he was talking about more accomplishments. He was talking about some of the greater things that happened in his life. In the middle of his promo, they cut to a commercial, and I thought, well, that is bizarre. Like, I don't know if they just ran out of time or bad editing or what the deal was. And then they come back from commercial, and he's still going through his stuff. So at first I was annoyed by it, and then I was like, oh, that was awesome. You know, they're just kind of saying, this guy brags so much, we can't even, you know, do a proper break for a commercial. We just have to fade out while he's talking and fade back in. I love that. I thought that was great. Although I'm sure that's going to annoy a lot of purists and whatever. Let's see. He started talking about the Big Show, how the Big Show rides a short bus, and Swagger was going to take him to school, try to get the crowd to chant that Big Show sucks, but they started to chant that Swagger sucks. Eventually, Kane's music hit, and Kane came out. They did a non-title match. This was annoying. This annoyed the crap out of me. It was long, which was fine. It was Kane, which, who cares, but Swagger was losing this match almost the entire match. It just kept, Kane kept overpowering him. He kept outmaneuvering him. They would do amateur wrestling holds, and Kane would out-wrestle Jack Swagger. What? They had Big Show come out. He goes down to the commentary position, puts on a headset, starts talking. So the match, they brawl on the outside. They go back in the inside. They expose the turnbuckle. Swagger starts ramming Kane into the turnbuckle. The referee tells him not to do it anymore, but he kept slamming Kane into the exposed turnbuckle. So the referee calls for a DQ. So he beats up on Kane a little bit more. He gets out. He poses with the belt in front of Big Show. Big Show stands up, and they lock eyes. And then Swagger turns to leave, and Kane hits him with a big boot. He takes apart the announce table. Swagger then fights off Kane, throws him into the ring post, but then Big Show grabs him and chokeslams him through the table, grabs the title, gets back in the ring, and poses with the title. So, my assumption is that they're going to play this off as Jack Swagger is this younger guy, this newer guy. He slingshotted to the top using the Money in the Bank briefcase. He's going up against Big Show. Big Show is too big, too strong. He's too tough. He's got that crazy knockout punch. I'm guessing that at their match at the pay-per-view, either Big Show is going to punch Jack Swagger, he's going to fall out of the ring. Big Show is not going to be able to get him back in the ring before the 10 count, so it's going to end. Big Show wins the match, but doesn't get the title. Or they're going to have Jack Swagger actually beat Big Show at the pay-per-view and play it off as he is this younger, inexperienced guy, but he's been beaten so many times by Big Show that now he understands Big Show and he's going to be able to beat him back at the pay-per-view. So I'm hoping that what's going to happen next week, because I believe, do we have 1 week to go before the pay-per-view or 2 weeks? I'm not sure. I don't remember. But I'm hoping that what's going to happen is that we still got 2 weeks. Next week, the two of them will face off, and it'll somehow be considered a draw. Neither one is going to get the upper hand. And then the week before the pay-per-view, you'll have Jack Swagger come back, and he'll face off against Big Show in whatever match they put together, whatever kind of confrontation, and he'll get over on the Big Show. And so it'll show that Jack Swagger has the ability to get over on Big Show. So you'll buy the pay-per-view thinking, well, I don't know who's really going to win. Big Show's been dominating all this time, but now Jack Swagger finally got a one-up on him. And then Jack Swagger will retain through a fluke, like being punched out but falling out of the ring, and Big Show wins by 10 count. Or Jack Swagger will beat him and they'll move on to the next guy, whenever the next matchup is going to be, which is not Big Show, in a different program. But I don't really see them doing that because I don't see another top heel currently on SmackDown in a position to take on Jack Swagger after Over the Limit. So I'm a little perplexed. Perplexed. On what exactly they're doing here and where this is leading. But either way, I don't like the way they're treating Jack Swagger right now. And I think Jack Swagger needs to come off as more of a definitive winner, and more of a better champion in the eyes of everybody. Because, of course, if he wins by a fluke and the 10 count, which I really see them pushing towards, that just kills so much momentum he would actually have. So anyway, that's SmackDown. So there you go. If you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't, don't. You're not really missing a whole lot by missing this episode of SmackDown, but it's still overall kind of a fun show and some interesting stuff going on that you might want to see for yourself just to see how it plays out. Maybe you'll come up with a different conclusion than what I'm drawing here, but that's really where I see all of this going. So that's going to do it for today. Don't forget, we'll be back on Tuesday with your look at Monday Night Raw. No Impact, because there's no Impact on Monday. Next week, you'll be back on Thursday. Again, we will cover it, just in as far as if there's any news coming out of the show, we'll talk about it, but we're not going to go into a great recap on it, because obviously, nobody's watching Impact. So, that'll do it for today, guys. I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world television champion, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, welcome.
I am the gold-blooded sausage maker. Gold-blooded sausage maker. Gold-blooded sausage maker. I am the gold-blooded sausage maker. Gold-blooded sausage maker. Gold-blooded sausage maker. This is going to cease to exist. It's going to stop now. I don't play no game. And I don't take no prisoners. Margaret's 2.5 years old. And I tell her a story about the cold-blooded sausage maker that's walking through the woods. And these little pigs run around. And he grabs the little pigs. I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. And you the little piggy. And you running around, but always in that story, when she's scared and her eyes are big as silver dollar, the American dream comes and saves the little piggy. But in this case, I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. Cold-blooded sausage maker. I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. I am the cold-blooded sausage maker. Now I hope my mama don't call David and get on for me talking this way. But she ain't no lady.